Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Came to the home plate umpire, Corey Blazer. Here's a fly ball in the right. Back at the wall. This game is over.
That is one of many walk-offs that Carlos Correa hit in his career here in Houston. In that case, it's the 2019 ALCS, and he is back in town today, this time as a Minnesota Twin. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, as always, Sean Mapes, as always, and this is Vanessa and Gallant. We are into hour two, guys. Correa back in town. I would imagine his reception is going to be pretty warm. I would imagine there's going to be a nice video tribute. I think it helps that he went to a team not named the Yankees, the Dodgers, etc. But excited to see him back, and I know that there's going to be a lot of hugs among him and Altuve and the guys.
Yeah, definitely. And just weird to see, but I mean, we've gotten used to this over time. I mean, Charlie Morton on Sunday, you see him pitching for the Atlanta Braves. You saw him pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays. You've seen, of course, George Springer in another uniform. Dallas Keuchel had moved elsewhere. Keuchel gets forgotten. Keuchel was a big part, though, of when this
isn't
team
he in
finally
like Triple A now?
Yeah, his career's probably
and gone. Not because of injury, because he's just not good.
I mean, there was a couple of years ago, it was very clear the guy that is so based on location, the way that he is. If you dip in velocity even a little bit, you're kind of screwed, and that was the big problem for Keuchel. Like, he never had overpowering stuff. He just had pinpoint command of the strike zone. So Keuchel, of course. Springer in Toronto. I think I said Springer in Toronto already. To a zero extent, Gerrit Cole elsewhere. Got in an argument with a Yankees fan yesterday who doesn't understand why I was making fun of the fact that Cole put on that Scott Boras hat right away.
Right.
And why I thought, like, it's very clear that the only reason that Gerrit Cole tried to get into a fight is not because of the other pinstripes around him, but because Aaron Judge was also a Boras client. But anyway, that's a side tangent. Correa is yet another one that's left, gone elsewhere. And I think that the good thing about Correa leaving is that Jeremy Peña has been pretty respectable.
That's lessened the blow, right? Like,
right.
That has lessened the blow and almost, I think, helped Carlos, not helped his legacy, but people aren't as mad. Like, let's be honest. They're not yelling at James Click the way that they would have been.
No, they're not. Now, it is important to know that Peña has not been very good of late. Is that something that he can fix by the end of the year? We'll see. But Correa is a guy that should certainly be up there in the pantheon of best Astros ever, though there are certainly some names that you would have to wonder about whether or not he's ahead of them. And I am curious, too, is if for some who have obviously been alive longer than me, where he would rank amongst the greatest Houston athletes ever. Like, I'm guessing it's not higher than 20th all time, but I could be wrong. I
mean, all time Houston athletes. You don't think it's higher than 20th. Interesting.
Well, there's a ton of guys that you would have to get past. And I'm just listing right now a bunch that I'm not 100% sure about, but you know, the Rockets, it's Hakeem Olajuwon, it's Yao Ming, Clyde Drexler, Tracy McGrady, Moses Malone, James Harden. For the Astros, it's Nolan Ryan, it's Jose Altuve, strong case for Roy Oswalt, for Roger Clemens, even though they were only here for a little bit of time, Lance Berkman, Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell, Jose Cruz, and then when you go to the NFL side of things for the Texans, is he better than J.J. Watt? Is he better than Andre Johnson? If you go a little bit further back in time, Earl Campbell for the Houston Oilers, Dr. Doom, Robert Brazil, Curley Culp, guys who I honestly couldn't tell you a whole lot about, Warren Moon, too. There's a pretty damn long list. I don't know that he necessarily gets into it, but the moments that he delivered for this city in the biggest of spots, plus the fact that he stood up for this team when it was the center point of everyone's rage during a time where there was no baseball and there was a pandemic, standing boldly and talking that ish to Cody Bellinger, who has never been the same player since.
That is probably one of the greatest rants in Houston sports history. I am aware that there are a lot of rants, including playoffs, or they are who we thought they were, the one you brought up yesterday. But in Houston sports history, that's definitely GOAT. I think he's going to be received really well, and we do welcome your opinions. Pablo on Twitter said he's not top 10. I think that's fair to say. You also have to remember that there's an argument for Cheryl, I believe it's Swoops.
Cheryl Swoops, yep.
And Cynthia Cooper-Dyke with the Houston Comets, who right. won four in a row. So there's a lot of the problem. And then you have the Houston Dynamo and Dash, right? Like right. Brian Ching.
I hate to be the sportsist guy. So we could just stick it to the three major professional sports here.
That's
right?
True. No, that's true. But, go down quite, but I mean, if you're going to do all-time Houston sports, then you have A.J. Foyt, who's one of the best race car drivers ever. I mean, you have a lot of different angles here.
Go to Patty Smith's Houston Sports Hall of Fame and take a
Shout
look.
Shout out to Patty, by the way.
Love Patty.
Love Patty. But I think Carlos Correa is going to be very well received today in Houston, and obviously he deserves that reception. Interesting article on Justin Verlander, guys, that just dropped a few hours ago in The Athletic. Ken Rosenthal did what looks to be a pretty exclusive interview, and it's the most details that Justin Verlander has given in a while. Verlander was in Italy talking with phone by... Gabagool, Astros owner Jim Crane, in the final hours before the start of that lockout. Crane had one last request as the two scrambled to complete Verlander's free agent contract before the lockout. Justin, Crane said, I would like some innings for that player option to kick in. Verlander had already agreed to the contract, but then they settled on the 130 innings, which, as we now know, a few weeks ago, Justin hit for that threshold for his player option. On whether or not he's going to explore free agency, Justin Verlander told Ken Rosenthal, quote, I haven't made that decision yet. Look, I have to finish out the season. I have to finish healthy. Obviously, if things continue to go the way they are, and knock on wood, everything goes the way I think everybody would hope, then I would probably opt out. I've pitched pretty damn well. Thoughts?
You saw the opt-out coming. The question is, what's Jim Crane's next offer? Will Jim Crane make that next offer? It would probably be a very expensive offer to match, because I'm guessing other teams are going to say, well, 2 years, let's give Verlander more than he just made with the Astros, which was what, like $30 million a year or so. Is it worth it to sign someone like Justin Verlander with the numbers he has this year to a contract that's, I don't know, maybe like two with a third-year player option, where each season he's making $40 million. Quarterback money. I think a lot of teams could definitely sell themselves on that. And I wonder if this is the one exception that Jim Crane maybe would make. This is the guy who won you your first World Series. They weren't going to win that World Series without Justin Verlander.
Do you think
team.
Some of it depends on the performances of Urquidy and Fromber and just how strong, and quite frankly, Lance McCullers Jr. and Certain. How strong they are in general?
No doubt about it. That's the thing you do have in your favor. And the real question is now, do you continue your process, which has seen you let guy we talked about moments ago, Carlos Correa, who has let George Springer, Garrett Cole, Dallas Keuchel, among others. You have let these guys walk. Is he the exception to your rule, the 39-year-old pitcher who happens to be pitching at an all-time level? He's made the comparison to Tom Brady before, and it's definitely different comparing a quarterback to
Correct.
A starting pitcher.
I made that comparison on air. I mean, it's...
But, I mean, the way he's playing at age 39, I think it's a fair comparison. I mean, in terms of, like, if you were to keep him around or have him leave, how much does it hurt you? We have seen what the Patriots have become without Tom Brady. Would that be what the Astros happened to the Astros? Would that be the same fate as them? No, it definitely wouldn't. But it would take the most reliable pitcher out of their hands and potentially into the hands of a rival.
Right.
So I wonder, because Crane clearly had faith enough in Justin Verlander to give him a contract where he was coming off of Tommy John surgery. I wonder if Verlander is also the guy he would be willing to make an exception and say, like, to James Click, look, I know that we have a lot of young pitchers, but this guy, he's still pitching damn good. Let's ride him till the wheels fall off.
There is an exception to every rule. We'll see if Crane even makes that offer to for JV to be the exception. All right, if you own your home, listen to me. I know you pay too much for your home insurance. TGS Insurance is about to fix that. And you don't even have to talk to an annoying agent. They have a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers, and you get your full quote in 15 seconds. So get your phone out. You text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask for your home address. You send it back, and you get the full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. I know it sounds like a scam, but this is a legit company. Their average customer from last year saves about $870 or more. I know you don't like to shop for home insurance. It's not the fun activity you want to do, but you're going to save a lot of money. So just do it. Get out your phone, text 232323, the word money. You get your home insurance quote, and you'll save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So Tom Brady missed training camp, a significant portion of training camp, for a quote-unquote non-urgent personal matter that had been agreed to before the season. Todd Bowles was incredibly awkward when talking about it, and nobody seemed to know what was going on. This was an interesting question on Good Morning Football this morning. Would you guys think that there would be anybody in the locker room that would be bold enough to ask Tom Brady why he had been out of practice?
No, which is funny. Other teams, I might say yes. This team, no. This is a team that I think was directionless before he arrived.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of those players probably had never played with somebody that holds guys accountable like that. But that's what's funny, because now all of a sudden he has decided to no longer hold himself accountable.
Allegedly. Jason McCourty, who's on Good Morning Football and, of course, played with Tom Brady, said the only guy he could see having done it at any time would have been Julian Edelman, because Julian Edelman didn't have a filter. But other than that, nobody ever would ask Brady because he's the GOAT.
I can't even see Gronk doing it. Maybe the guys who played with Brady early on in the New England Patriots days were on the defensive side of things. So like Willie McGinnis or Teddy Bruschi or Rodney Harrison. But yeah, few and far between.
Here's head coach Todd Bowles on Tom Brady's return.
Anytime you have all your guys back, you feel good, you know, especially after the injury bug has hit lately. So we're happy to have him back.
I love how he just said, anytime you have anybody, it's good. Trying to get away, using the coach speak. Could Todd Bowles even say that to Tom Brady? I'm
Todd
serious.
Bowles probably doesn't even feel like he has the right to ask, because Tom Brady's the one that we pretty much know got him the head coaching job.
Right.
I mean, he earned it, but Tom Brady wanted him to be head coach.
You know what? I bet that Brady wanted Byron Leftwich to be the head coach, though.
Yeah, it could be.
And I think that the compromise for Bruce Arians might have been Bruce Arians walking away. Like, I'm sure that they had to do something to make it so that this was a neat walk away for Bruce Arians into a different role. I bet Bruce Arians stood on the table for Todd Bowles, who did get, I think, a raw deal. Was Arizona his last head coaching stint?
Yeah, I believe so.
No, it was the Jets.
Oh,
right?
It was the Jets. You're right. Look, who could win in New York?
You think it's Steve Wilkes.
Oh. Yeah, Steve Wilkes got screwed over completely there.
A lot of screwing over in the NFL.
I don't know how many coaches could actually do that to somebody. Like Brady, I would say the same thing, you know, in a post-Tony Dungy world. Do you think Jim Caldwell had the authority to speak to Peyton Manning with any kind of chutzpah, if you will?
I also think that there's an unspoken thing in the locker room. Like, you always hear guys talk about when somebody's going through a contract dispute. Nobody asks them about it, because it's like, let people handle their money. You don't get in somebody's pockets. I think with Tom Brady, you don't get in the way of his life. He's Tom Brady. He is. Look, I might not like him. He is a god in the football world.
And as long as he comes back and he's like still Tom Brady, or at least like close to what he was last year, like, no one will have a problem with it. If he comes back and he sucks, then people will be like, then when it's like the players only meeting, they're going to turn to him and be like, you left for 10 days. Like, you're telling us to
you
take
think anybody would say that to him?
I mean, if
maybe
things,
a bold rookie.
If things go poorly, like if he sucks, if he after leaving
I still
training
don't
camp,
think anybody says it.
If
to him.
So if he's Peyton Manning his last year in Denver,
too far.
No, I'm just saying. If
no,
he's
you're
that
right.
Bad.
You're 100% right.
The backup might be better than him. I think someone calls him out for leaving in the middle of training camp.
Luckily, Peyton's backup was Brock Osweiler, but the Texans saw fit to sign Osweiler to a contract after that season. Good God.
Every pass has its own
story. So we still don't know where Brady was, right? Because the whole advertising thing where he quote tweeted and said, I wasn't on Masked Singer, but I was wearing a mask and it's the helmet. That wasn't him in the ad. So we still don't know, right?
We do not. You are correct. He could be pulling a fast one on us.
Is he going to?
No, 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 no. I literally don't think that was him in the ad, was it?
No, definitely for sure not.
So he's joking, right? Like, so where was he?
I mean, same with Deshaun Watson. Like, he can just deny. Like, he could have been on The Masked Singer. You could ask him if he's on The Masked Singer. He could just say, no, I wasn't.
Bermuda, true. Bahamas, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego. He might have been in any of those places.
Giselle's family, I guess, goes on, like, a big vacation every year.
Mm.
And so maybe he told Giselle when he retired, hey, babe, I finally get to go on the big fam vacation. And then when he unretired, she was like, you still have to come on the vacation. Respect, if so.
That sounds pretty logical.
Yeah. I don't remember what program that was on, as Brad Kellner says, but I know that there's a vacation somewhere in the Bunchen family. Bunchen, is that right?
Tamo,
I don't know.
Giselle Bunchen from Brazil.
Hello, from Brazil.
Very Brazilian
name. I'm from a town right by Brazil. Brazil, Indiana.
Ooh,
Terre Haute.
There's a Brazil, Indiana?
There is. It's right by Terre Haute.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brazil. Nice and foreign. Near Versailles, Indiana. Yes, it's pronounced Versailles, not Versailles. That's a real thing. Mark Davis.
That's so Indiana. It's true. Oh, my God.
It's literally Versailles.
Terre Haute.
Mark Davis has chimed in on the possible Brady and Gronk to Vegas rumor that Dana White had talked about. Quote,
look at my hair.
I heard about White's comments, Davis told the Las Vegas Review-Journal. That was, what, 2 to 3 years ago or something? I don't know, man. Talk to Dana. I remember that Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay. That's basically what I remember. I honestly have no idea. Dana has the stories. I love Dana. He is a great, great promoter. Why would this make me upset? I was busy watching the Raiders and the basketball game. That is Mark Davis's exact quote.
And then he was...
Mark Davis doesn't remember.
The hair makes so much more sense now because people just, he drones on and on. You get lost in that ridiculous haircut of his. And then the next thing you know, like, the question's been answered. And you're like, wait, where am I? Huh? Oh, okay. I'm sure I got something on the B-roll.
This is where, like, people thinking you're a buffoon really works in his favor, where he can just go, that was 2 years ago.
Right.
I got other things to wear. I was watching practice the other day. Where, like, if that
watched House of the Dragon last night.
Yeah, if that was Robert Kraft, like, Robert Kraft would have to give a real answer. But Mark Davis can go, ask Dana.
Do you think that, Dana White is the type of person, as we talked about yesterday, that kind of inserts himself into a lot of different scenarios. Do you think this may be one where Mark did say, hey, Dana, you can take the reins on this? And so maybe he doesn't remember.
Maybe
Dana was actually more involved.
If so, Dana White could just start moving his things into Mark Davis's office and just be the owner of the Raiders.
Hey.
And Mark Davis is like, all right, if you say so, see you at the beach.
That's how his dad did it. The way that Al Davis took over the Raiders is really something else. It was essentially a hostile takeover by a guy who had no means to actually take the team over. And
do any owner's kids? I mean, usually most of the time.
But I'm talking about with Al Davis.
Oh, specifically.
So back in like the 60s, Al Davis was like had a bunch of different roles with the Raiders when they were in the AFL and somehow found a way to squeeze out the actual owner of the Raiders despite having like no money. It's pretty fascinating because the Davis family has always been one of the less wealthy families in the NFL. And that's why you've seen them move back and forth between Oakland and L.A. and Oakland again and now to Vegas. And this might be the first time that they've actually been able to create enough equity behind themselves as far as how their franchise is valued and with the new stadium where they're actually wealthy. But the Davis family is a fascinating one.
It's fascinating story. How he eats that wing, too. I do respect that. Instead of eating like Nobu sushi in the owner's box or a filet mignon, that man has some wings.
He definitely would get a straw and a hot dog and empty out the middle of a hot dog.
Just mean. But if there were one owner to do it, it would be him. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, some big news out of the basketball world. But first, Paul's going to tell you about BUSR.
Yes, BUSR.com/ESPN. Look, sports, the ones that we care about, the NFL, right around the corner. And BUSR.com/ESPN is your place to go for all things gambling. Hey, maybe you're thinking right now to yourself, I'm going to make a futures bet with the NFL season right around the corner. Who are you going to bet on? Maybe it's the Houston Texans to win more than 4.5 games. I hope they win more than 4.5 games. I think they can win more than 4.5 games. That's what I'm going to do there. And guess what? When you deposit something on BUSR.com/ESPN, it's a little bit of cash, if you will, they will double your deposit within the first 24 hours, up to $1,000. So, hey, look, you're looking to make a little bit of extra money? You'll have extra money to play with. BUSR.com/ESPN. And it's not just the regular sports we're talking about. You can gamble on horse racing. You can, you know, go to the casino, play a little blackjack. BUSR.com/ESPN with updated lines every single day is your place to go for gambling. One more time, BUSR.com/ESPN. Sign up today.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
One of the biggest NBA storylines of the summer has seemingly come to a close. The Brooklyn Nets tweeting, quote, "The following statement has been released by General Manager Sean Marks. Steve Nash and I, together with Joe Tsai and Clara Wu Tsai, met with Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman in Los Angeles yesterday. We have agreed to move forward with our partnership. We are focusing on basketball with one collective goal in mind, build a lasting franchise to bring a championship to Brooklyn." So it appears, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Durant will honor his contract and actually play for the Nets.
I wonder how much pressure maybe came from the top, from Adam Silver, from basketball, to Joe Tsai and to anyone else with decision-making power in Brooklyn to hold your ground here. Because clearly Adam Silver has spoken up a couple of times how he's not thrilled with this, but he hasn't really spoken up in an aggressive manner. This is essentially the battleground. This was the frontier that they had to hold the line at. And to their credit, they did. I am surprised because you have in Kyrie Irving one of the more, let's just be honest, annoying thinkers in sports.
Wannabe deep thinker. The guy that's on a roof at 3 a.m. after he smokes a joint thinking he has solved the world's problems.
Hey, yo, man, like, there's a lot of electricity we're using. Like, why?
It's like Imagine by John Lennon.
Yeah, why don't we just light candles instead, man? Yeah, and then you, of course, have Durant, who legitimately orchestrated this whole thing, and it just didn't work out. You know, everything that the Nets have done over the last couple of years, Durant has had a say in it. And now he just wants to leave. And it does make me reflect back on the way that the Rockets handled James Harden and, honestly, be mad at Tillman Fertitta. I get it. You know, now you could press the reset button and you could potentially get some great players in the draft. But the way that they just surrendered to James Harden.
Yeah, let's localize it. How does this relate to Tillman and the Rockets and even guys, I put even the John Wall situation in there where Rafael Stone, who I like, but Rafael Stone and John Wall would get in front of the media and just shrug their shoulders and say, yeah, I mean, we just like went out for a beer and decided that he's not going to play and it's cool. I mean, not giving in to superstars. Now, I don't think John Wall's on the same level as Kevin Durant currently. I'm not saying that. But where do you stand on that?
Rockets are pushovers. Period. I mean, shoot, it's one thing when you're doing that with players that have been stars in John Wall, in Russell Westbrook, current stars, James Harden. It's another when you are kissing the keister of a guy who quit on the team in the middle of a game, who is still here, by the way, who supposedly is in the midst of contract extension talks with this team. They got rid of Christian Wood. That's the only chutzpah this Rockets regime has shown since turning over. Kevin Porter Jr. is still here. It's weird how they operate. And I get, Vanessa, that you want your situation to be one that players want to, I guess, sign with, join of their own accord. But that was never a thing back in the day. I mean, they had a hard time bringing in top-of-the-line free agents when they actually did have a pretty good team in the early 2010s and into the middle of that decade. So, what, you think that being nice to all these players is going to make Houston seem like a more attractive destination? Like, that's what I'm guessing their logic is.
These players want to have their cake and eat it too, and that includes the players that we've seen from the Rockets. I understand you have to let the players have some cake, but to let anybody that wants to walk away, let them walk away whenever and for a reduced price doesn't make a lot of sense. So I do think that it is a win, quite frankly, for owners and GMs and corporations and saying, look, this is one superstar who we were not going to let push us around. Not ever pushed around is Nick Saban. Alabama, although they lost to Georgia in the national championship, continues to be dominant. And Brett McMurphy is reporting that Nick Saban is receiving an 8-year contract worth nearly $94 million. He remains, of course, the highest paid college football coach currently.
I wonder how long he's going to want to do it, too. Clearly, there are no challengers. How do you not get bored?
Yeah, or overworked. He's 70.
But he's got...
He's 70.
Hang on, though. The idea of him overworked, he's bringing in former coaches that have been fired for the one-year internship program, and he's got
Steve
guys...
Steve Sarkisian, Lake Kiffin, yeah, Bill like O'Brien.
They're getting him coffee and filling up his gas tank. Like, yeah. I always get a kick out of the Alabama reclamation, like, or it's like essentially rehab for coaches. Like, hey, you could come here. We will polish that image of yours, and then you can go off into the great blue yonder and find yourself a new job. And it seemingly has worked. I mean, Sarkisian.
It has worked. Sarkisian's at Texas.
How did Sarkisian get
Lane
that
Kiffin?
Job?
Bill O'Brien? Where will Bill O'Brien go next after his Nick Saban rehab?
You know, that is a good question, because I do think that there is a possibility that he ends up back in New England someday. They like him up there.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
They do. I think he could end up back in the NFL for sure.
I wonder how many of the stories about his temper have made its way around the NFL coaching world, but it's funny. I don't think Saban is that overworked, and I think that, too, you win like this every single year. Wouldn't you get bored after a certain point in time?
Right.
It's not a challenge anymore. I suppose maybe you just don't want to do anything else, but if I were in Nick Saban's shoes, I think I would be getting a little bit bored with just hey, this is the same thing every single year.
Every single year. All right, Derek has called on the show and would like to talk about Saban / Kevin Durant. Derek, what's up, man?
Yeah. I can't believe I'm putting Nick Saban and Kevin Durant in the same sentence. But at the same time, when I was listening to you guys, and when Kevin Durant, for whatever reason, control, I see the word control. It wasn't okay for Kevin Durant to try to strong arm, muscle control, or make the environment a place where he goes conducive to what he wanted to, and I get that. But Nick, so he did, and it was a victory for the organization and corporate
sure.
America and everything. But Nick Saban in Alabama, they bow down, and I get $90 million, and I run the show, and I'm the chief, and the SEC, and everybody bow down, and it's okay. Good for Nick Saban. He's older guy, but he's good, and you know, he's not too old. And on another note, Dusty Baker, he's too old to coach.
Oh, you think Dusty is too old?
I love that. Good job, Derek.
That was
a great twist at the very end to bring it back to Dusty Baker.
Thank you, Derek. That was a great call.
I love that. Just sneak in that little Dusty barb at the very end of it. Yeah, I mean, look, he's the best in his field, Why would you not continue to pay him and pay him and pay him and pay him and pay him some more?
And we are not ageists on this show, by the way. We do believe that people can do their jobs well into their 60s and 70s. And look, he wins. Winning cures all, right? So yes, he may be old. Yes, Nick Saban may be old school and go about things in a way that makes some of his players scratch their heads. As long as they're going to the national championship, I don't think anybody questions it.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. No one should question this. He wins. He doesn't even look old.
No, he doesn't.
It's surprising hearing
when
that
I
Nick
saw
Saban
that he was
70.
I know. I was like, okay, early 60s, maybe 70 years old. 8 years worth nearly $94 million. That does put him ahead of, it looks like, Kirby Smart, who also signed a new deal earlier in the offseason. That's $11.2 million a year over 10 years
average.
And
he should be paid more than Kirby Smart. Like, Kirby Smart, congratulations on your one title, but Nick Saban's been doing this over and over again. And as Saban said, last year was a rebuilding season. So, flex.
Saban's contract includes a provision in which he and the university can revisit annually, quote, marketplace trends regarding head football coach compensation.
Yeah, literally.
Which means he can make more money.
Yeah, no, every time that someone gets a new deal, it, like, in Nick Saban's contract and in past contracts, he gets to renegotiate to stay in the top three of all head coach salaries.
Is that what something that, like, what Patrick Mahomes has? Because people keep saying Patrick Mahomes' deal is going to be, quote, unquote, sweetened after Deshaun Watson and others have gotten big contracts.
I don't think it's in writing the way it is with Nick Saban. Nick Saban, it's literally,
they could
just do a new deal.
But Nick Saban could go into a grocery store and, like, take someone's child and say, yeah, this is now the property of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And what is that person going to do?
There you go. Here's my son, Nick Saban.
That person.
Enjoy your new daddy.
Right. And that person would still have to pay, like, child support while Nick Saban takes him into the Alabama football factory. Like, he could do whatever he wants there. Imagine just being that powerful in a small college town. It's messed up to think about all the things that can happen, the things that do happen that you don't know about.
Yeah, yeah. Art Briles was a lot less successful at Baylor than Nick Saban is at Alabama.
Hell of a contract in it. Postseason bonus is $75,000 for appearing in the SEC championship game, $125,000 for winning it, $200,000 for appearing in a New Year's Six bowl game, $400,000 for appearing in a national championship semifinal, $600,000 for appearing in the national championship game, $800,000 for winning it. Nick Saban and your agent, good job, and I don't think any of us will ever make that much money, but hopefully he and Miss Terry, as he calls his wife, enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, I do want to give his agent a shout-out, but not that big of a shout-out,
right?
Because, I mean, it's A, Alabama football, who, like, if you're successful there, like, they'll take care of you forever, and he's been literally the most successful coach in college football history. Yeah, I would bet he has a really nice contract.
Does his agent have the easiest job ever? It's like when you see a lifeguard at an adult pool.
His agent also represents like half of the SEC coaches, so he's always moving and shaking.
I would love to be someone's parasite, you know?
Just
be along for the ride, do nothing. Just like every 7 years, negotiate a new contract, and then just go back to doing absolutely nothing.
You would be a great agent, I think.
Wow.
Be on the phone being like, hey, yeah, no, I'll talk to him. And then, you know, yelling at, you know, a team or something.
Show me the money.
Yeah.
Yelling at an intern, shooting my secretary with, Nerf gun.
I'm just thinking that gif of
Lloyd!
Ari Gold from Entourage throwing his phone in a parking garage.
Yeah.
I feel like that's very Paul
Gallant. That is very Paul Gallant.
Ari Gold could not be made today. Like that.
Oh yeah.
That agent would not fly in 2022 because he was a homophobe with his agent, with his assistant Lloyd.
Paul would call Adam Schefter and say, "This is exactly what I want you to tweet, Schefter.
Yes.
Not a
Lick
word
my
different.
Boot. Lick it.
Yes, Mr. Editor."
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, does a certain NFL franchise hate women? You got to hear this theory, of course, followed by Garbage Time. That's next. But first, Paul's going to tell you about PIN.
The Passive Investor Network, people. Look, we're all looking for ways to make money. And one of the ways that you can do that, it's by talking to my friends at the Passive Investor Network, a full-service real estate investment firm. Here's what they do. You meet with them for a free consultation, and they're going to help you create a five-year plan based off of your long-term goals. They will execute that through real estate investments. Licensed professionals. These guys know what they're doing. They find the parts of town and houses to invest in. Then they do the construction for you to turn these things into beautiful properties. 20 years of experience in Houston doing it. And if maybe you've got some questions along the way, guess what? You get daily updates on the Passive Investor Network app with pictures of your property. Once the construction's done, they find the tenants for you. They do the property management. You own the house. They do the hard work for you and take the headache out of the investment process so that you can make money passively to achieve those long-term goals. Visit their website today at passiveinvestor.net. Tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you to schedule a free consultation with a portfolio manager or join them on their famous bus tour. That's passiveinvestor.net, passiveinvestor.net. Once again, tell them ESPN sent you.
ESPN 97.5.
Girls run the world. Girls run the world.
Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, I'm Vanessa Richardson. Paul Gallant is somewhere. There he is. Sean Mapes is behind the glass as always. And we are jamming out to Who Run the World Girls by Beyonce. But apparently the Buffalo Bills do not jam out to this. According to John Wowrow, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Buffalo-based AP sports writer, he tweeted, curious, just dawned on me that the Bills practice music soundtrack rarely, if ever, features a female act. Now, there are a lot of observations made during training camp. This was an interesting one.
It's the correct one.
Really?
Listen, Vanessa, for too long, people like you have been held down.
I hate you.
Well, listen.
Define people like me.
Sometimes a woman needs a man to tell her that she has been oppressed.
You're very good at mansplaining this.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
This is an unbelievable tweet. Out of all of the training camp observations, you're noticing the music that's played. What do you think they're going to bust out? Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, let's go, girls. Come on.
Yeah.
That would motivate me a lot more than Walk by Pantera.
Also, the way it's formatted is so funny that it's just curious, period, is how it starts, which is, it's like he's stumbled upon Watergate.
It is curious, though.
Yeah. It rarely, if ever, features a female act.
I mean, Sean McDermott, sexist.
They've answered. They have questions to answer.
Josh Allen, pig. Von Miller, clearly doesn't respect anybody. This is a problem, okay? And the only way to take care of it is if they go out there today and they play some nice lady pump-up music.
They should do it just to troll the guy.
Yeah, they should come out to It's Raining Men.
Right.
That's what
Hallelujah!
They should do.
Here's what's interesting. The Bills are actually one of the rare groups in the NFL where a woman has a very prominent role in Kim Pegula. She's, of course, married to Terry Pegula, and she has a huge role, like actually makes decisions in that organization.
Is she actually a woman?
Yes.
I can't say.
Okay, whoa.
Is she a bad woman? Is she a bad, Kim Pegula,
are you bad?
She's holding women back. This is outrageous. I want to hear California girls when I go out.
Somebody
California girls for undeniable.
I thought you were going to beat the Beach Boys.
Just play a bunch of Katy Perry music, which we all know.
No, she's bad.
Arguably the greatest musician of all time.
A guy from Outkick, Joe Kinsey, tweeted, all right, well then name your female playlist suggestions. Wind Beneath My Wings was the first response by somebody. Just Dance by Lady Gaga.
I
Heart Barracuda.
Look, some music is appropriate for warming up to, others isn't. And now I'm not going to be sarcastic. When I was in high school, our football team would warm up to the Alabama Greatest Hits CD, which was okay at first. I like the, there are people in this country who work hard every day. Hello, Detroit. Auto worker. Let me thank you for your time. Like, that was fun to get warmed up to. But it got a little weird around song 4 or 5 when one of the songs, as we were warming up, I'm running a route downfield, yeah, catching a pass on a post pattern. I want to know you before I make love to you. I want to hold you.
What are we doing?
All of my life. Like, certain songs are good to warm up to.
Right.
Others aren't. I would admit that I would have a hard time, like, going, rah! You know, like, extreme.
To a woman's song?
Yeah, probably.
What? To any woman song.
I don't think that's sexist at all. No, I don't.
That's incredibly sexist. You don't think there are any women hype songs?
For me personally, no. I'm talking about my own personal opinion. What, I have to like a women's song to warm up?
No, I'm not saying you have to like one, but you think that, but it's the it's the fact that it's a woman's voice that that can't get you hyped?
To go kill people? No. To be out on a football field and wreck people? No. I will even admit this. Like, I don't like Walk by Pantera, but I would actually like to warm up to Walk by Pantera.
I was going to say, I feel like Paul's a weird person for this because he'll warm up and get amped up to Song of the South, but not anything by a woman and not Pantera. No, so it's a very slim margin.
Let me take you through my workout playlist and women I have.
Is Dixieland Delight in there?
It's a great song. Spent my money on beer. Magic Stick by Lil' Kim. Classic.
Magic Stick.
With 50 Cent. Choop by Salt and Peppa. Hey, I've Come to My Window by Melissa Etheridge, actually. But I'm
come
weird.
Come through my window.
Because I like older music.
That's a good song. But not to warm up to.
Well, it depends on what you like to warm up to, though. I have The Way I Are, which does have Carrie Hilson in it. Yeah, I mean, I can look. It's a weird observation from training camp. I would disagree that a woman's voice isn't good to warm up to. I think maybe that actually is a problematic statement, but it's not problematic that the Buffalo Bills are probably listening to mostly rap music, probably modern rap music, as we hear at Texans training camp. A lot of Migos, a lot of Young Thug, Gucci, etc. All right, it is time for Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
No regret. What?
I'm looking at my workout playlist. I do have one workout song featuring a female singer, but that is it.
What is it?
It is Holding Out for a Hero by Bonnie Tyler.
Okay, there we go.
That is it.
We are making progress with Paul today.
But that's it. All the other 19 are like songs from movies or they are...
You don't have Running Up the Hill.
And the hero she's holding out for is a man.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't say it.
apparently it is No Regrets for a Thief who tied Kim Kardashian up back in 2016 in a hotel bathtub and held at gunpoint. Oh. Well, $10 million worth of jewelry was stolen. He said that he had no regrets and that she was basically asking for it because she had all that money there.
That's the way that he rationalized it. It's truly spectacular. I mean, he said, yeah, she's just throwing her money all over the place willy-nilly. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to take some. Like, it's very matter of fact. And like, I mean, obviously, robbing people is wrong. Kidnapping them is worse. Tying them up in the bathroom is even worse. But his logic is like, she's throwing her money all over the place. I should get some of it because she doesn't care.
There's a very disturbing video going around on Twitter from an Oakland A's game.
Oh, we're not talking about the hot dog video anymore. We're talking about something else.
This is an Oakland fan per Twitter that a lot of people say was getting a certain act performed on him in the stands.
CPR?
No. It's one that's a little more aimed towards the lower half of the body.
I like you trying to walk around this one. Yeah, so they're facing 6 months in jail for this. Look, it's an A's game. Let the people live. Who's the person that decided to snitch?
Most disturbing thing in a baseball game involving a wiener, this or the Yankees,
Yankees
beer guy?
Thing.
The Yankees beer, I think, is a little more disturbing.
Daryl Strawberry was talking about how he was receiving those exact same treatments, if you will, from people in the bleachers in the middle of games.
No way.
Watch the Mets documentary 30 for 30. Like they
oh,
were,
that's right.
They were like hooking up with people in the outfield. What, the fans can't too? It's an A's game. They're leaving town. The stadium is overrun with cats. I understand why maybe if you're at the top of the stadium, you think you can get away with it. Was it a good idea? No.
There's going to be a hefty fine there for sure.
Fine, yes. Jail, no.
Apple employees have launched a petition against the company's return to office plan, saying a recent order for many workers to return to the office at least 3 days a week will negatively affect their mental health.
See, but you throw mental health out as a shield and you can't criticize it. Oh, wait, we're not talking about athletes. We're talking about people working for corporations. You see the double standard here.
Yeah.
Everyone is uniting against this because they think that the people at Apple are soft for this. And yet we can't do it against Ben Simmons, who is like, oh, I don't want to play anymore because my mental health.
See, I think that this is a great move by Apple. If you only have to go in 3 days a week, that means you can be home 5 days a week. Shouldn't they be grateful? Am I missing something? Am I wrong?
Here's the discrepancy. I actually am of the belief that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for everybody to come into an office to work. There's like all the weird office work play that like politics and stuff where you're not actually acting like a true human. But I also think that it's hard to be productive when you're in your own place. And in particular, say you're somebody that has roommates or something like that, it might be a little bit more difficult. So I kind of understand both sides of the sword here, but I personally would not like to be working from my house. I would get too distracted.
I would end up watching Netflix for sure. Yep. All right, that's another episode of Vanessa and Gallant. Up next, you got the Killer Bees.
With
Jeremy
me.
Brink. Oh, it's you. With
yes,
with
Jeremy has a child.
With
now.
Joel Blake. Congratulations to Jeremy and his wife. That was a long time coming and definitely a blessing
Huzzah.
Of that baby. So the Killer Bees with Paul and Joel coming up next.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.